24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google Page 1? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn secrets to success in music, technology, and business. Please follow us online at www.ladyze.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. Please pull out your phones and follow me on Instagram at ladyze. Now, my next guest, she is a mogul, a real estate investor, speaker, entrepreneur, and philanthropist. She is none other than Melissa Wyatt, owner and founder of MW Enterprises. How are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So what made you get into business?
It was crazy because my son, I had my son at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And so one of the key things that I wanted to do as a young mother was to be able to raise my kid. And so one of the ways I knew that I could do that was being a business for myself, because I could command my own hours, I could set my own times, you know. And so that was probably the biggest push, being able to make sure I had the time to raise my son.
Okay. That definitely resonates with me as an entrepreneur and single mother myself. So you know, you had your son, you're motivated to start your own business. So describe the journey from, you know, an idea to now your company manages a portfolio of millions.
Yeah, it was crazy because You know, when I first started out, it wasn't really easy at all. You know, investing in real estate as an African-American woman is very difficult, just because you got to go through a lot of stuff that we truly don't always know about, like financing, you know, doing market studies, understanding our market, you know, building relationships. So all that stuff comes with time.
Right.
So, you know, I really decided that, you know, I wanted to get into the market because I did research on how the top 1% of people made their money, and it was business or real estate outside their primary home. So
okay,
that's
okay.
That stuck with me.
Right.
And so once I knew that, I took a year to study it. My son and I would go to Barnes and Noble's every Saturday. Stay in there for hours. He would be on the third floor looking at Japanese anime, and I'm on the second floor reading all the real estate investing books that I could possibly get my hands on. So it took me a year, and then once that year came about, it was time, and I dove in and bought my first property, which was a condo unit by a university, and it's been performing well since, you know.
Wow. Now, that's really powerful, you know, buying real estate near a university, because college students always need a place to stay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Since I purchased the unit, I did probably spent about $4,000 or $5,000 on renovation.
Mm-hmm.
And the property has not been empty since.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. So after you acquired this condo, how long did it take you before you were comfortable in buying your second property?
Oh, I was hooked. I was buying a property a month.
Oh, one property a month?
One property a month, yes.
And how long did it, I mean, are you still buying one property a month, or how long did you?
No, the market has definitely changed. So that's the great part about it. That's what I'm saying. It's not as easy as people foresee it to be, because you have to understand your market, you know?
Right.
And so real estate does cycle. So when I got into real estate, it was about 10, 11 years ago. So it was an amazing time, because the market had just crashed, you know?
Right.
So it was like I was getting investments for like pennies on a dollar. Now where you're against competition, where people are willing to overbid and overpay for property. So the great part about that is it allowed me to enter into a market at the right time, and it was the right time for me. And then it allowed me to acquire a massive portfolio, to where it was like I started to ask myself, okay, I like investing, but what next? And what next is what came to me, and it was development, so real estate development. So that's essentially how I got into real estate development. Yeah, I was looking at what I had acquired, and now how can I add value to what I have acquired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that journey began.
So what is different from just buying you know, say a condo that you rent out, you know, one or two properties, versus real estate development? What new skills did you have to acquire to be successful with that?
One, you have to understand, okay, the market you in, does it have a need for development?
Okay.
Development costs a lot more money and time.
Absolutely.
You know, building relationships with true contractors, not just handymen, you know,
right.
And builders, you know, I had to learn estimating, cost estimating. I had to learn the development process, which was a whole nother process. You know, development, when you get into development, again, you're looking at market analysis. You're looking at the risk. You're looking at finance, the feasibility. You know, you really have to understand your project's valuation, you know. That's where I got into learning like zoning and entitlement. So I actually learned a lot as I transitioned into development.
So is it safe to say that you also had to learn the political landscape in which you were looking to purchase or develop land in?
Absolutely, absolutely. You have to know, a lot of people don't look at their city charters, and I study the city charters like it's no tomorrow, like their master plan.
Wow, that's, you know what, I'm going to have to stop you right there because that's a huge, huge nugget. Now, for my podcast listeners, people who are listening, you know, we're right in the middle of voting here in LA County. Voting day ends, the final day is March 3rd. And so for you to mention, you know, just being informed on how to get your city's charter, reading it, understanding the zoning, that's powerful in order to be able to develop successfully. So
absolutely, because you want to know where the city or the county or the state is allocating their dollars, you know?
Right.
And the only way for you to be able to understand that is to understand their master plan, the city charter, you know, and go and talk to folks, you know, as investors and developers, we can't be afraid to go and talk to people.
Right. And so what offices did you talk to in the cities that you were looking to develop in? Excuse me.
So the main people that I talked to is planning department.
Okay.
And your building and safety department.
Planning and building and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Does that mean planning to tell you if what you want to do to your site is feasible?
Right.
You know, so they go over all the zoning, you know, all your site plans and stuff like that to make sure what you want to build fits into, you know, the master plan of that community.
Right. So zoning, I fully understand what zoning is, but there may be some listeners who don't understand what zoning is. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah. So zoning is, how should I say it? It's a process of, like, the city determining if your property is residential or commercial or industrial. So they give these zones to it. And it might be like a R2 zone, which is a residential zone. So you can build a single family house or maybe a duplex, right? So it tells you about, you know, you buy this lot. This lot might be 5,000 square feet. It might be R2. So that'll tell you exactly what you can actually build on that lot. And that's regulated by the local government or your local planning department, right? And say, for instance, if you wanted to change the zone from a R2 to a R4, you have to go through a process that's called entitlement to be able to change that. But that's not 100% guaranteed. You know, so your filing fee.
And that's a very political process, too.
That is a very political process. And you can pay all these fees, you can spend all this time, and they can deny your entitlement request.
Absolutely.
That's why it's really important to understand your zoning, what that area is trying to do, so you don't get caught with paying all these fees and spending all this time, and you come out and they're just saying, no, you have to keep that R2.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, I've seen projects, really great projects, be presented to city governments and be denied.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, be denied for unknown reasons.
But I mean,
I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I've seen deals be denied.
Right. And so that's why it's really important that if you know that there's a possibility for you to build what you want to build outside the zoning and you can apply for entitlement, you want to have people on your team that can kind of help you through that process.
Right.
So whether it's people that have relationships with the regulatory agencies, you know, any expediters that have worked in government that know, you know, how to kind of, I don't want to say finagle, but, you know.
Be able to navigate successfully
through
the process.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that process. Because, I mean, it can get you caught up. And so a lot of people, what they don't realize is that your community, your neighbors, when you're looking into changing zoning or anything like that, they have a say in that unless your project is by right. If you have a by right project per the zone, they can't tell you what to do.
Now, what is a by right project?
So by right means that per my zone, I just want to build what I can build by law on there. So if it's the R2 property, I mean, R2 zoning, and I just want to build a single family home, I can build that and my neighbors can't say anything about that.
Wow. So what, through your career, what was the most easy development project that you've done and the most challenging development project that you've done?
They're all kind of easy and they're all kind of challenging, you know.
Okay.
Meaning that, you know, we do a lot of research up front. So I invest to develop. So meaning that when we're looking at a project to purchase, we pretty much already know what we can do with that property.
Okay.
So that's the easy part. The hard part is sometimes navigating the municipalities. So like zoning or, your planning department or building and safety, because, you know, they might change regulations every year. And so you get going on something and it's like, no, well, I know we said we can do that, but nope, we need you to change this up, you know, or you get an inspector on site where you've had something approved and the inspector is like, no, I'm not signing off on this. You need to change it to this, you know? And so it's important to build relationships with your inspectors and stuff like that, because they will keep you consistent. If you stay with the same inspector, they really keep you consistent. It's changing. When they change, you know, inspectors, it gets a little bit challenging.
Right. That so, makes sense.
Because one inspector might like it this way and you're used to working with them that way, but then another inspector might step in and be like, no, I'm not signing off on this. You have to completely change this up. And so one, it delays the project. One, it adds time and money to the project, you know? And so that, I think that's probably the most frustrating thing.
Right. Personnel changes. So yeah. There's something that you've mentioned before about investing, and what you mentioned before is don't make decisions emotionally. How can you invest with, you know, without your emotions getting the better of you?
See, in real estate, if you invest with emotion, you're gonna lose every time.
Okay.
So it's really important that when you're making an investment into investing in whether it's residential or commercial, industrial properties, you need to go in there clear with what your plans are. I want to purchase this property. I want to rent it out for $3,000 a month. You know, I want to get it financed at this rate, you know, because this is what I can afford.
You know?
So if you can only afford a monthly payment that's $1,500, you shouldn't get emotional about the purchase if it's going to cost you $2,000 a month, you know, because now that's outside your scope. And so when you get emotional, you're like, oh no, I'll purchase it. I'll figure out a way to kind of do it, but that's outside your budget. Now you're becoming emotional because you're not making great decisions about your investment.
Right. So sticking within your budget is very important.
Sticking within your budget is not only important, but sticking in within your criteria of what you're looking for. If you know that you're a single family home investor, why are you purchasing industrial? Why are you, you have to know, you know, you kind of got to know your scope of what you're interested in investing in. So, you know, is it residential? Is it commercial? Is it office space? Is it industrial? You know, is it a mix? You know,
why are
you doing? What's your why, you know? And so, you know, do you have certain parameters that you know you need to stick within? And if so, you need to stick within those parameters. If not, it becomes an emotional purchase. And I know a lot of investors, when they start to make emotional purchases, those are their worst purchases.
Right. Wow, you are really dropping some amazing insight.
Thank you.
Into the investing world. So how did you move from residential to commercial, and I know you do industrial, right?
No, I don't do industrial. So I do a mix of residential and commercial. I don't do single family homes, so only multi-unit, small office, commercial, and commercial building.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's all I invest in. And again, it comes kind of with trial and error, meaning, you know, you start investing, you get your foot wet, you figure out, okay, I like the condo, but the condo's not it. So maybe then you move into a multifamily, you know, get you a duplex, a triplex, a quad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like this, you know. Or it could be mobile homes. I have some buddies that all they do is invest in mobile home parks, you know?
Right.
You got to start somewhere. So I'm not saying that you can't have trial and error as you're starting, because you want to be able to understand what asset type you like.
Right.
You know? So, but I feel like after the second and third property, you pretty much have a good idea of what you're interested in investing in.
Right. So I heard that you have an event coming up in April. I know you're a philanthropist. Can you share with our listeners what's going on in April?
Yeah, so we're having, every quarter we do this this event called a plant party. And so our plant party is really about gathering your friends together, and we come out and plant succulent plants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was a good idea because it gives people the opportunity to look at different ways to decorate their spaces,
mm-hmm.
Especially drought-resistant plants, and then just coming together and have fun and talk about real estate and talk about, talk about our natural environment, right? So we got some people that come out and they're just barely beginning and like gardening and stuff like that. And then you have some people where you're like, okay, you've been doing this for a long time.
Right.
It's really important for us. That's how we kind of build our community, you know, having small events like this where people can really just come out and learn about, you know, how to plant, growth habits, how to care for a plant, because when they get their own spaces, or if they already have their spaces, it's important for them to be able to, you know, decorate it the way that they want to. People just love plants, you know.
And, yeah, I love plants too. Absolutely.
And so that's why we do it. And then part of the proceeds, we then, donate those to like homeless shelters or education. We buy a lot of educational stuff for like after school programming and stuff like that.
Oh, that's awesome. So, you know, what are three things you want to leave with our listeners before we end, and how can people get in touch with you?
So people can go to our website, which is www.mwenterprises.com. So everything that you kind of want to know about us and what we do is there. And the three takeaways, I would say, educate yourself when it comes to real estate investing. Don't make emotional purchases. And spend time on developing your team. So those are the three things that I would actually leave with you.
Okay, so those are some great takeaways. So you're going to have to share with us next time you come on how to develop a winning real estate development team.
Yes, or an investing team as well. Mm-hmm.
Right. You're going to have to expound on that. But we're getting close to the end of our time. I just want to say thank you so much, Melissa, for coming on and sharing some golden nuggets on how to be a successful real estate developer and investor. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And to my listeners, thank you so much for listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where today's guest was real estate mogul and developer, Melissa Wyatt. Thank you so much. And until next time.
Bradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.